Y'all heard. I did thank Joe for everything he said about Anna and I. My good wife said, you need to make sure everybody heard you say that. And so I try to listen to my wife's advice because it's always good. And that leads us into today. We're going to talk about the family and talk about the work. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 9. Excuse me. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 9. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Bondservants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart as you would Christ, not by the way of eye service as people pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man, knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord. Whether he is a bondservant or is free, masters do the same to them. And stop your threatening, knowing that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and that there is no partiality with him. Early one morning, an elderly man got up and made a phone call. He got his oldest son on the phone and said, listen, after 45 years of marriage, your mother and I are calling it quits. And he said, Dad, why? That's a problem. He said, no, it isn't, and it's none of your business. What? And not only that, but you have to call your sister. I'm not going to do it. Click. He sat there for a little bit, dumbfounded. Picked up the phone and called his sister and said, sis, listen, mom and dad, after 45 years of marriage, are getting a divorce. And he said, there ain't nothing we can do about it. And she said, maybe nothing you can do about it. Listen, this is the plan. Me, you, all the grandkids, we're getting in the car and we're going to be at mom and dad's house before the end of the week. I'll call them. Don't worry about it. Okay. Dad. Yeah. We're going to be there by the end of the week. Don't you make any decisions you regret before we get there. All right. Whatever you say. Click. Hanging up the phone, the husband turned to his wife and said, well, that takes care of Thanksgiving, but I don't know what we're going to do about Christmas. You see, families can be the source of our greatest joy and some of our greatest frustration. And the two sources of joy and frustration in our lives are really our work and our families. And we're going to look at those two issues this morning, our work life and our home life. What does God say about how we should treat our parents and children and our bosses and coworkers? First, look at verses 1 through 3 of chapter 6. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Listen and follow directions. Obey your parents. We can talk about balancing this verse out later. But clearly, the first three verses we're giving here is a command to obey our parents, to honor our parents, and a promise that is associated with those commands. At 15 years old, George was finally at the precipice of becoming a man. He had secured appointment as a midshipman on a British vessel, and he was in port ready to go. He was all packed up, and suddenly a messenger came to him. George, this is from your family. Opening up, it was a letter from his mom. And she said, George, it's not time for you to leave. You're only 15. You need to come back home. There'll be plenty of time for that later. Dejected, aggravated, but obedient, George got off that boat, got his bag, and went home. Later that day, when he finally got home, he met his mom at the door, and she handed him a penknife and said, this is to remind you to always obey your supervisors and those in authority over you. For God will not forget to reward those who submit to authorities. That man was George Washington. And I'd like to say that his mom was more than a little right about that. He became general of the Continental Army and our first president. And he knew the importance of submission to his parents. Children, listen up. I'm pretty sure we're all somebody's child, okay? So obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It may look different at different ages, but it's a command in the Greek that we should listen to them as unto the Lord. That obedience is not just for one parent, it's not just for dad or just for mom, but both. Obey your parents in the Lord. In fact, a woman's parental dignity should be increased by her submission, not decreased. A godly mother should be just as respected as a godly father is. Obedience must follow the same rules of submission. You must not demand that your children do something unethical, immoral, or unsavory. And I wish I could tell you that I'm just standing up here telling you that because I've never heard of it. But I've served in churches and counseled with people whose parents forced them to buy illegal drugs for them, you know, who forced them to get alcohol or cigarettes or things from them that made them feel uncomfortable. They used their children in ways that children are not supposed to be used and permanently scarred those kids. You see, you're not supposed to use your kids to order them around and devalue them as human beings. You're not to do anything sinful with them in this regard. And if you have, you need to repent. And the language used in this verse, it's so similar to the language about submission of wives and husbands. Remember, it's mutually to the Lord. It's a continuation of this same idea set forth. This is a Christian house code for parents, children, workers, and bosses. But it's important to note that this is right before our passages about spiritual warfare. Some of the most passages in the entire Bible that are famous for spiritual warfare are here. That finally be strong in the Lord. But right before that, he says, we got to talk about families. Because families are the battlefield for most of our battles in spiritual warfare. And you know what the other is? Work. And that's the next section of these verses. So I've seen people mess up this family issue, pastors and laymen alike. They start fantasizing. They disrespect their relationships. They take their spouse for granted. They belittle their children. They are self-focused. This is your warning to pay attention to what God says about families and to ignore it at your own peril. Matt Groening, the creator of The Simpsons, answering criticism, once said this: I'm sorry. I have a 7-year-old and a 9-year-old little boy now, and I get it. Bart Simpson is a bad example for kids. You see, we all think disobedience is cute and funny until you have to live in a house of it, right? And so you might ask, why are we told to obey our parents in the Lord? Because it's the right thing to do, because morally it's right. It's right to listen to the people who caused us to exist. It's right to respect the people who brought us into the world. It's right to respect the people that have more life experiences. But not only that, it's mentioned in the Ten Commandments, God's holy standard for living that he set out for the Israelites at the beginning of his relationship with them. Children are not only commanded to obey their parents, but to honor them as well. Honor your father and mother. Esteem them, respect them, have a high regard for them, value them. It's not only reflected in our attitudes towards them, but it's our actions. Sometimes actions speak louder than words. Honoring your parents doesn't have an age limit on it. As children and parents age, it's going to change what it looks like. But at a minimum, it means appreciating the fact that you were born and given life. Maybe you thank them for loving you, raising you, or caring for you. And it's tied to this promise that it may go well with you and that you may live a long life. But it's also tied to a promise dealing with the land. You see, it's a reference to the Ten Commandments here, this promise, that God said to the people of Israel, if you want to have a good life, then you need the relationship between children and their parents and parents and their children to be good. If you want to guarantee that a society is going to fall, look at the relationships between the parents and the children. See, God says, if you really, truly want to have a positive impact on the rest of the world, then show everybody what it looks like to love your children. Show everybody what it looks like to respect your parents. Show everybody what it looks like to love one another. Remember, this is a time where child sacrifice was still practiced when God gave them these edicts. It was crazy that he told them they needed to respect children. It was unheard of that he told them to love their wives and respect them as people. It didn't make any sense to most of the people at that time, but it shows how revolutionary Christianity was when it came on the scene. God is saying, if you want your civilization to thrive, if you want your people to not just survive, but to go deep and wide in their love and understanding of each other and their commitments, it is that family dynamic and that early stamp of love on us from our parents that sends us in a particular direction. God is saying, It's a symptom of who you are as a people, how you treat your children and how you treat your wives. See, one of the biggest problems in our society today, I believe, is the way children and adults interact. You know, children want to reject their parents, not obey them, ignore them, what they're trying to teach us. And there's nothing new about this. Every generation thinks they figured out something that the last one didn't. Right? Every generation has something new that we want to rebel against and something new that we want to teach. And the question that we have to ask ourselves as a people is, how will we help raise the next generation of children to know and love Christ? Not only should children obey their parents, but parents should lovingly care for their children. Look at verse 4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. I wish that this verse said, children, do not provoke your fathers to anger, but that's not what it says. That's not what it says. All right? Lovingly care for your children. Don't think just of your own needs and your own self and what you care for, but care for them unselfishly. I have a friend I'm thinking of right now as I'm talking to y'all about this. And he's got a couple of children by a couple of different ladies. And anytime he's talking to me about his frustration with his relationship with his sons, it always has to do with it not being on his timing or his plan or his purpose. He's so self-focused. You don't have to stay married to the woman who gave you children, but you need to continue to love those children. You need to serve them as well. Do not complain about the lack of your husband or wife in front of them, because loving your spouse well is part of loving your children well. Care means to contain and care for the material, the social, and emotional need. It contains all these things. In the movie Renaissance Man, Danny DeVito, he plays a Princeton-educated businessman. And he's going through a divorce, and he's lost his job, and everything's up in the air. And so he takes his daughter to a baseball game. And he buys her all these souvenirs, thinking that he's going to have a good time. And he tells her, hey, what's been going on with you lately? And she says, Dad, I think I've decided I want to be an astronomist. He says, astronomy? There's no money in that. Maybe if you said astrology, you could trick some people into giving you money. And she said, but Dad, I want to do astronomy. And there's an eclipse coming that happens once every 50 years in Mexico. Would you help me fund this trip that I could go do research? No, it's pointless. Later that day, as she was getting out of the car to go home to her mom's house, he said to her, don't you want these souvenirs from the trip? Slamming the door, she turned to him and she said, no, Dad, I just want you to care about me. You see, children want us to care for them. And we want to care for them. But our own sinful desires in either direction seems to get in our way. We're not to provoke our children to anger. This is a command in the Greek with the same verb tense as children obey your parents. It's the same command in Greek as children respect your parents. Let's not make the same mistake that people do with submission and only emphasize one person's role here. We've got to emphasize both. We're to respect and love our children, and children are to respect and love us as well. There's got to be mutual respect and mutual love and mutual compassion. But somebody's got the last say, and it's the parents, because we got more experience and we're in charge. And you can do it your way when you want, okay? It's a key concept for Christianity, this idea of mutual respect and love. It's what makes us so different. It's what should make us so different. That's what I should say. Sure, try not to harm your children, but really, don't give them a reason to be righteously indignant with you. Bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And what happens is a lot of times we nail one of these concepts. We're really good at discipline. Don't do that, do that, don't do that, do that. And you need discipline. Listen, you need discipline to pay bills. You need discipline to change diapers and make bottles and feed babies. You need discipline to be an adult, y'all. You need it. And your parents need to instruct you in that. But you know what else you need? You need the instruction of the Lord. You need somebody to pray with you, teach you things out of the Bible, tell you Bible stories, and pray around you so that you see what it looks like to have faith. This is what it means to be a Christian. Some people take their children to VBS and Sunday school, but it's that stuff at home, the Bible stories, the prayer time, the one-on-one that really makes an impact. Oliver Wendell Holmes was once asked, what is the key component that makes a person the most likely to be successful in life? And he said that they have good parents. You see, who we are as people is many times dependent on the biological, economic, personality, sociological influences that our parents have on us. So we're set up to go in a certain direction as soon as we're born onto this world. But not only are family relationships important, but work relationships are important too. I'm sorry to say, it also tells us that we should obey our bosses. Look at verses 5 through 8. Bondservants, or slaves, your translation may say, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart as you would Christ. Not by way of eye servant as people pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man. Knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a bondservant or free. In other words, work like someone's watching you even when they're not. Go out of your way to make your boss's job easier and better. Serve them like you're serving God. I don't know if you have, but I've worked those jobs before where it seems like people just want to be as lazy as they possibly can because they're getting paid by the hour. And if they can get to that overtime, they're going to get paid even more to do nothing. And they just lazily slack as much as they possibly can to try to mooch off that boss as much money as they can. And God says that's not how we should be as Christians. He said somebody should know you're a Christian by your work ethic. And I thank God that I was taught this as a kid by my dad and my grandfathers. This is something that we used to embody as Americans. But I'm not sure that we do anymore. We need to show the rest of the world what it looks like when you believe that you're doing things unto the Lord. This is a command too. Obey your parents. Listen to your boss. Obey your earthly masters. This is a command to slaves. As many as one third of the population at this time was a slave. Okay, and we think of slave and we think of race, but race had nothing to do with this, okay? You could be a slave and be in a lower class, a middle class, and an upper class. Slaves could own property, they could buy their freedom, and the only class that they weren't part of was the ruling class. Slaves could be more educated than their masters even, and sometimes that happened. So you need to understand the context of what they're talking about. So he's saying to these slaves who have no choice in what kind of work they do, that they need to show how godly they are through their conduct in treating their slave owner. So you can respect your boss. Not as people pleasers. Y'all, don't do that work so that other people can see what you're doing. Don't go out of your way so that other people see it either. As slaves of Christ, you work for him. Do all that you do in life, remembering and trusting that he rewards us well. Doing the will of God from the heart to the best of your ability. Cultivate the right attitude about your work. I will never forget Oki. It was my first deployment. And Oki got sent to us when we had about 2 months left. And she was the best woman I ever worked with in the military. I mean, she knew the job better than we did. She knew things that we didn't know. So she was teaching us stuff on the computer. She was teaching us stuff about how to make maps. And we got this project coming down to make these maps for a congressional delegation that was coming to help fund the war effort. So me and Oki and one other person started making these maps, and we were designing it. And a lot of the way it looked was based on what she was teaching me how to do. And so when the big wigs came, when the colonels and the congressmen and the aides, who do you think got credit for that map? It wasn't Josh and Oki. It was some captains and some sergeants who had no idea how to do what we were doing. And I was salty. Ugh. That was the first time that had happened to me in the military. I thought it was going to be merit-based, but really it's whatever your subordinates do, you get to take credit for. It took me a long time to learn that, but that was the first of many lessons. But Oki, I'll never forget it. She didn't say anything. She didn't go out of her way to make sure that these people knew what she did. She didn't talk behind the supervisor's back. She didn't ask to be taken more seriously. These are things I did, okay? So she didn't do all these things that I was struggling with. She had the right attitude that even though her bosses and her work situation wasn't the best, she was being the best. And I've never forgotten that attitude. But that's the attitude we need to have. Be like my friend Oki. She was a great coworker. Render service with goodwill as unto the Lord, not to man. Again, this is not about us trying to get the attention of others, but faithfully doing your job as you would unto the Lord. There was a sculptor working on this great Greek sculpture, right? In front of this pagan temple in ancient times. And he was really working on it. I mean, he was working on the front of it and the face, the ears and the hair. He's working on the back and the legs and the calves. Oh, man, he's just working like crazy, y'all. And somebody comes up to him and says, "What are you doing?" And he says, "I'm making a statue." And he said, "Yeah, but nobody's going to see the back of it. And he said, God will. You see, that's what our attitude should be like when we're talking about how our work ethic should be. There are times in life where nobody but God knows what I did that day at work. And for many of us, that's the case. There might be a little bit of an idea, but for the most part, we're bound by God. He knows how much work we've done and how much we haven't. We need to serve as unto Him, y'all. You got to know and trust that God rewards your faithful work. Whether you have a choice about that work or not, God will take care of you in the end. I was reminded of this week, and I was just thinking about it, right? It was 10 years of work from the time that I felt God calling me to ministry till I came here, and now I'm pastoring. 10 years of work. 10 years of working jobs and then going and writing papers at night. 10 years of working jobs where I thought I could be doing more than this, but not having the energy to because I had to go back and write a paper. 10 years of classes I didn't want to go to, you know. 10 years of papers I didn't always want to write to come here and see that. So what I'm telling you is, believe it or not, pastor appreciation or not, y'all, I'm just going to be honest with you. Me being here today, right now, is evidence that this verse is true. I mean, I work not knowing if there was a church out there that was going to hire me. I know some of y'all like you, but I'm not everybody's cup of tea. And I didn't know, there's no guarantee. So all you can do in life is try to do the work that God's given you and trust that He rewards. And I can tell you in my life He has. And He is no respecter of persons. He can and will do the same thing for you. I believe that. But not only should you obey your bosses, but bosses, you should care for your employees. Look at this last verse, verse 9. Masters, do the same thing to them. Uh-oh, that sounds like husbands and wives again. And stop your threatening, knowing that He who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and that there is no partiality between them. Man, that's a heavy verse, y'all. Look after the needs of the men and women you're in charge of if you're a supervisor. There's no excuse to take advantage of other people because this verse tells you not to. But it's an opportunity to show other people that they are an important commodity. Bosses, you need to do the same thing with your employees. You need to treat them respectfully even as you want to be treated respectfully. Guess what? I got a surprise for you. Hey, this is a command too. So Paul uses the same grammar to tell us obey your parents, respect your parents, obey your bosses, respect your employees. It's the same force of a command. This blew me away. There are really two types of leaders. There's authoritarian leaders and there's servant leaders. Now, an authoritarian leader is the type of person who tells you what to do, how to do it, and when to get it done by. So they like to be a micromanager. And they like to take credit for your work but not take credit for your blame when you mess up. Right? They're selfish, they're self-minded, and they're just trying to get ahead on the bodies of their employees. They rarely praise Him for a job well done. But a servant leader doesn't just give commands. A servant leader asks questions. How are you doing today? Are you okay? Are you doing all right? How about outside of work? What's going on with you? Do you need any help? Listen, the leaders that I've respected the most in my life have freely shared their failures. And their failures help me negotiate and make decisions in my own life. A servant leader is somebody who helps other people make right choices and supports them. They don't threaten them, they don't mock them, and they don't mistreat them simply because they're in charge. They don't do that. Unfortunately, I've seen this both good and bad in the military. It seems like there's no middle ground in the military, right? You either have great bosses or terrible bosses, you know? And so I don't know that it taught me anything special, but I can just tell you that from my experience, good leaders protect their subordinates. Good leaders try to get their people better pay, better job, and better treatment. They try to get them what they wish they could have had if they were in their shoes. They don't threaten them. Many times leaders that are threatening are people that are not comfortable in their own skin. In other words, they're threatening people because they're not confident or comfortable with themselves. So you need to ask yourself what kind of leader you are. Because God says we need to treat each other right. And we need to treat each other fairly. There's no partiality or favoritism with God. Partiality is so common in society. Michael Harrington did a documentary called The Other America. And in it, he documented discrimination against the poor. And he pointed out that poor people were many times more likely to be arrested than rich people. That police officers and most of us in society tend to treat folks different based on how they're dressed. And the nicer dressed someone is, the least likely they are to be arrested. The more educated somebody is, the more connections they have, the less likely they are to be arrested. Since the poor don't have money for bail or lawyers, they receive more severe punishment. They're at the mercy of unscrupulous employees. They have less rights and less access to rights. And that's the way it is. With people, we show partiality, but God doesn't. God doesn't show favoritism, but he treats everybody as equal. You know, unfair treatment at work can happen to any of us, y'all. And it does. But did you know that it can make you sick? A study in London of 6,400 civil servants found out that health and well-being at work were connected in some way. They did a survey and they asked people how they felt about their bosses, how they felt about their work environment. Did they feel positive about the direction that it was going in? Were they treated fairly? Did they have a good relationship with their bosses? And 10 years later, they looked at their health records to see which men and women had heart attacks. And 30% of the people that had bad work environments had a higher rate of heart disease and heart attack. So there is some kind of correlation between how we're treated in this world and how we respond in our health. So whether you're the overseer or the employee or just your own children, we have to remember to treat each other fairly because it can have a direct impact on our health. And how can we apply this message? First, we need to remember that obeying our parents is more than a simple command. That it's not just about listening to them, but respecting them. Speaking the truth in love, making sure that any request they have of us is not immoral, unethical, or illegal. Remembering that one day as they age, we'll take care of them. So be loving and respectful and treat your children the way you want to be treated as you age. Sometimes this means setting healthy boundaries as adults, and sometimes it means being available at a moment's notice. But flexibility is the key, and the golden rule is our ally. Care for your children. I'm going to give you 5 ways this morning you can care for your children. Number 1, as much as possible, be honest with them. Be honest with them. I think sometimes in an attempt to protect children, we don't tell them the truth. And I would just encourage you not to do that. Try to be as truthful with your children as possible so that they can trust you. Number 2, teach them about life. Give them the skills necessary to live life successfully. People talk all the time about what's not being taught in schools. And I often wonder, are you teaching them that at home? Are you complaining that they don't know how to balance books in school, but you're not teaching them that at home? Then stop complaining and start teaching. Give your children the skills that they need to be successful. Number 3, refuse to put down, demean, or demoralize your children. This is a command from the Bible, and it's a recommendation from me. Give them the freedom to make decisions within boundaries. As children age, they need more freedom, and they need more ability to mess up. And this is a hard balance, and each one of us has to negotiate that in our own time and our own place. So I'm not going to tell you how to do that, but that's what we need to do. We need to slowly let them have more freedom, and we need to learn from that as we go. And number 5, we need to avoid unhealthy pressure, expectations, enmeshment, or living vicariously through your children. That means don't overly pressure them, y'all. That's what that means. That means if you wanted to be on the baseball team in high school, don't pressure your kid until they try to compete in that same way that you wanted to. That's silly. But people do it all the time with business, they do it with family, and they do it with sports. Obey your parents, but also obey your bosses. Treat your boss the way you want to be treated. Again, it's the golden rule. Work well, not lazily. Doing your work is unto the Lord. Your boss is not your boss anyway. God is. Try your best, plain and simple. Do not blame your lack of caring for your job on your boss. Because God told this to slaves, y'all. And we're not slaves. We have some choice. If you want a better job, go find one. But respect the one you have as long as you're there. Care for your employees if you're a boss. Be the best boss that you can. Remember to treat them the way that you wish to be treated. Care for your employees with understanding and be helpful. Have firm directions. I talked to somebody this week. I asked her how her new job was going, and she said, frustrating. Every time I ask my boss for clear expectations, he fails to give it to me. You know how hard that is? Be clear with your employees if you have them. Care for them in this way. Be clear for them. Follow through on your instructions for them. Check on their progress without being overbearing. Care for your workers as you would yourself. During our time of response, as our musicians come forward, I just want you to ask yourself a couple of questions tied to these concepts. Number one, do you obey your parents? Are you an obedient or disobedient child? And I'm not here to make you feel bad about it. Just confess it and repent and move on. Try to be better. Try to be better. Number two, are you harsh with your children? Look, if you're harsh and overbearing with your children, you need to confess it. That same command to obey your parents is there to not hurt and overbear your children. So if you're doing that, you need to confess it, y'all. Are you a lazy worker who tries to get by on doing the minimum? You need to confess it, y'all. Are you a dictator of a boss? You need to confess it. Better yourself through the grace and hope of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do not try to hold other people hostage to your own unmet expectations in your life. Get some help, y'all. We're going to have a time where you can pray at the altar. You can come forward and I can pray with you, or you can pray in your seats. It doesn't matter. But allow God an opportunity to work in you. If you need to confess your shortcoming as a child, if you need to confess that you're harsh with your children and you don't need to meet, if you want to confess that you need to be a better worker or a better boss, we stand here ready to accept that forgiveness. Let's pray. God in heaven, I ask in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that you would prepare the battlefields for spiritual warfare this week. That you would help us to live radically clean lives in the area of how we treat our children and our parents. In the area of how we treat our bosses and our coworkers. I pray that you would cleanse us from the top of our head to the bottom of our feet. God, those of us that are harsh without meaning to, forgive us. God, those of us who are lax at work, forgive us. God, those of us who are hard bosses or hard parents or hard children, forgive us. God, we can live in the freedom of this truth. We ask now, Jesus, that you'd meet us where we are, that you'd grant us that sweet embrace of forgiveness, and give us the grace to live our lives unburdened by this truth. In your name I pray. Amen.
move in the next moments, and also if we would let Josh and Hannah go first in line. Lord, we thank you for all the many wonderful pastors that we have had, and especially today, we thank you for Josh and his wife, Hannah, for their leadership and their friendship to this church, Lord. Please bless this food that we're about to partake, and thank you, and bless the hands that made it. Please let us take it.